It's important to know all the malachas, all the hilchos Shabbos, and it's important to know how to deal in emergency situations. So, we should start from Shin Chav Ches, the dinim of pikuach nefesh, dinim of chayla, of pikuach nefesh. The din is that pikuach nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula. The sugi in the end of Yuma, the Mishnah in the last parak in Yuma. The bulk of Maseches Yuma deals with the Avodas Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, how he's makir all the korbanos, and the last parak deals with the Chamisha Inuyim that apply bizman hazeh, no korbanos. The Mishnah says that if a person is a mesukan, if he's going to fast on Yom Kippur, there's a chance that he may die, so then pikuach nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula. So the Gemara has a whole sugya there, and the last parak in Yuma, how do you know that there's such a din that pikuach nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula, of course, with the exceptions of Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Damim, Anshas Hashmad, and so on. So the Gemara has various tanoim, learn out from different psukim, and then one of the Amoraim came up with his own pasuk, v'chai bohem v'lo sheyomos bohem. The Gemara has a comment that the Amoraim thought that the pasuk that the Amora came up with hits the spot, and it's better than all the drushes of all the tanoim. V'chai bohem v'lo sheyomos bohem is the best mokim. So we assume that Pikuach nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siv Beis, Shin Chav Ches Siv Beis, Hazara is Hareza Meshubach. The person who runs to take care of the Pikuach nefesh, he runs, it's got to be Mechal Shabbos, Hareza Meshubach. But Hashoyel, and if someone comes to ask the rabbi, I remember once I was sitting in the Sukkah, and Broyers were reading in the Sukkah on Leil Yontif, and one of the boys from the Kohel went to ask Rabbi Schwab, is he allowed to take his child to the, drive his child to the hospital because the baby is deathly sick? So Rabbi Schwab screamed out, of course he go. You run quickly. What are you asking a shayla? That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. A shayla, the person who asks a shayla, I raise a shayf chadamim. He may cause someone to lose his life. You're going to dilly-dally to ask a shayla. That's terrible. You have to be zoriz. You have to run to do the pikuach nefesh. Even if it'll turn out that that it was all a mistake. Even if it'll turn out that it was just a scare. There was nothing wrong. The din is that a safek pikuach nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula, and a svek svek pikuach nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula. So the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sivkot Nevov, on that Siv base, Hashol HaRezu Shefer Damim, the one who comes to ask a shayla is doing wrong. You're not supposed to ask a shayla, you should run to do the pikuach nefesh. And then the Mishnah Berurah and Vav quotes in the Talmud Yerushalmi, V'hanishal HaRez HaMeguna. And the rabbi who is asked the shayla, it's a busha for him. So Rabbi Schwab felt very bad. When the young man ran out from the sukkah to go drive his baby to the hospital, Rabbi Schwab said to all the people who were sitting there, HaRishal HaNishal HaRez HaMeguna. It implies negatively about me that the people think that there's a shayla. I didn't explain to them that pikuach nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula. Of course, you have to run to be mechal Shabbos. Yeah, why is Hanishal HaRez HaMeguna? What is the rabbi's fault? He didn't get to that din yet. He's learning Shulchan Aruch, and he'll get to that din. So apparently, that's supposed to be the first din that you tell the Baal HaBatim when you come to the shul. First shiur should be that pikuach nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula. That's why we're going to start from Simen Shin Chav Ches. So the din is that pikuach nefesh, safik pikuach nefesh, svek sveka pikuach nefesh, is derech kol haTorah kula. What exactly is considered a sakana? What's considered a suffix sakana? So the Shulchan Aruch has a whole collection here, Simen Shin Chav Ches, of different passages from the Gemara. Some of the Gemara is in Maseches Avodah Zarah, some of the Gemara is in Maseches Shabbos. But what's considered a sakana? What's not considered a sakana? Take a look in Simen Shin Lamed Aleph, Sif Tes. Shin Lamed Aleph is the simen about a bris milo on Shabbos. There are 24 prokim in Mishnayis Maseches Shabbos. So the commentaries point out, if you look in a big Mishnayis, the Yochanan Boyer's Mishnayis, on the first page in Maseches Shabbos, so they comment, why did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi decide to make Maseches Shabbos 24 chapters? What's the gematria over here? Why 24? He says, because Shabbos is known as a kala. The Gemara refers to Shabbos as a kala. Who's the chassan? It's a good question. Okay, Shabbos is considered a kala. And in the days of Tanakh, it was traditional for a kala to wear 24 pieces of jewelry. Where exactly is she going to wear 24 pieces of jewelry? She's going to wear a ring on every finger, that's 10. Two rings on every finger is 20. Then two earrings is 22, and a nose ring is 23. What more? A necklace is 24. Okay, whatever. She used to wear 24 pieces of jewelry. Okay, good. There's a medrash like that, yeah? Okay. Who's the chassan? It says, it's Klal Yisrael is the chassan. Okay. The medrash says that the Shabbos came to complain to the Ribbono Shel Olam that everything in the Bria has a ben zug, that Sunday has Monday, Tuesday has Wednesday, Thursday has Friday. We don't know what that means. And Shabbos stands alone. Who's going to be the ben zug of Shabbos? The Ribbono Shel Olam said, Bnei Yisrael will be the ben zug. That's a medrash like that, yeah. So the Gemara in Bava Kamma refers to Shabbos as a kala. So because traditionally in the days of Tanakh and the Novi Yecheskel it says that the kala used to wear 24 pieces of jewelry, 24 tachshitim. So that's what the Mefarshim write on the first Mishnah in Shabbos. Rabbi Yudah Anasi was Mesada the Mishnayus of Shabbos in such a way there should be 24 prakim. So there aren't really so many halachas that it should be 24 prakim. So one of the prakim, Perek Rav Lezer Nemila, is all about the laws of Bris Mila. Has a little bit. Bris Mila Bisman is Decha Shabbos. Mila Shlo Bisman is not Decha Shabbos. That could have been one Mishnah. What do you need a whole Perek for? So they had a pad, the Mesichta, to make it 24 prakim. So there's one whole Perek about all the laws of Bris Mila. Okay. So in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Shin Lamed Aleph has all the dinim of Bris Mila Bismana Shalai Bismana. So on Shin Lamed Aleph Siftes, Mechaber writes like this: in the days of the Gemara, the practice was that they would wash the baby with very warm water. They don't want to burn the baby. They would wash the baby with warm water before the Bris and after the Bris to prevent infection. And today, Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in such a modern time. He lived in the 1500s in Tzfas. So he says, and today, nobody bathes the baby with hot water, not before the Bris, not after the Bris. So you don't have to do it anymore. Just because in the days of the Gemara it was a sakana, doesn't necessarily mean that today it's a sakana. The Gemara says if you did the Bris on Shabbos and you don't have hot water to wash the baby afterwards, it's a suffix sakana. And if there's no nochri to heat up the water, the Jew is permitted to cook the water himself, because the baby is considered besafik sakana. So if Yosef Kara writes that his man is that doesn't apply. He's not quoting this from anybody. You take a look, and the Be'er HaGoyle always gives you the Mar Mekoymus for the Shulchan Aruch. So he writes in the letter Samach, Divrei Atzmo. This is Rabbi Yosef Kara's own original Chiddush. He writes that just because the Gemara says something is a sakana, it doesn't necessarily mean that it still applies b'zman hazeh. So this whole Simon Shin Chav Ches gives you a list of all the things that are sakanas. This is a collection of all the Gemaras. B'zman Gemara, these were all considered the sakanas. And b'zman hazeh, it's not necessarily so. We have other things that we consider suffix sakana. And some of the things in the days of the Gemara were sakana. Today, we no longer view them as sakanas. What's the definition of sakana? That v'chai b'hem alo shi'omus b'hem, that b'koch nefesh is d'echa kol ha'tarakula. So there is a machlekes harishonim. What about sakonis aver? There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah that if the eye is infected, and you're afraid that he may possibly lose the sight of the functioning of the eye, you're permitted, if necessary, you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos, Malacha Deraisa, to save the eye. So the Miri says, from this Gemara you see that Sakonas Ayin is considered Pikoch Nefesh, and it's Zecha Kala Terakula. So in the Shulchan Aruch, that's not the accepted opinion. You take a look in Sif Yud Zayin. Sif Yud Zayin is what we were quoting yesterday, that the Shulchan Aruch has four different opinions. To what extent are you mekel? How sick does he have to be? And then the Mechaber ends off, B'divrei Hasvara Hashlishis Nirim. We should pass like the third opinion. Third opinion was the Ramban and the Torah Sa'adam that we were speaking about yesterday, that the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah didn't have a Torah Sa'adam, so they read the Tur as reading one way, and the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Hil Shulchan Aruch writes a different pshat. And the Egel Eital claims that the Alter Rebbe was right, that the Baal HaTanya was right in his reading, because that's the way it says in the Ramban. So the Shulchan Aruch assumes that Sakona Sefer, you're not Doiche, and he said there, I said, what do you do with the Gemara in Avodah Zarah? The Gemara said before, Sakona Sain is Doiche Shabbos, and the Miri says, here you see Sakona Sefer is Doiche. So the answer is, in our Girsa in the Gemara, doesn't say that. In our Girsa in the Gemara, it says, Shiraina De'ena Beliba Talia, that the blood vessel that goes behind the eye, the eye is infected, so that blood vessel can carry the infection to the heart, and he can die. If the eye is infected, this may cause him to die. So that's, and the Gemara considers it only eye, only an eye. I remember I used to learn Mecharusa with Rabbi Neuberger's brother, Naftali Neuberger, who's a doctor. So he said, he claimed that the doctors don't understand what this Gemara means. The blood vessels are all over the body. You can have an infection in your pinky. You can have an infection in your belly. You can also, the blood vessels can bring it to the heart. Why did the Gemara think that the blood vessels only from the eye, the infection in the eye, will spread to the heart? Any part of the body can spread. So we don't know exactly what it means in the Gemara, but the way it says in our Gears in the Gemara says, Fakeret. Sakona Zayim per se is not Decha Shabbos. The only reason why it's Decha Shabbos is because it's Sakonas Kol HaChayim. So the Tzvi Eish wrote a tshuva. Everybody knows who this Tzvi Eish was. Rabbi Weinberg gave the highest shiur in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin. So before him was Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman, the one who wrote the Tshuvas Melamed Lohel, who's known more for his work on biblical criticism. And so when he was an old man, he retired, so then they invited the Tzvi Eish to come from Slabodka. He had learned in Slabodka. He was one of the star students in Slabodka. So he came to Hildesheim Seminary. He gave the Tapshir in Gemara. So the Tzvi Eish has a tshuva where he says, maybe we should reconsider the psak on Sif Yud Zayin. Maybe now that we have access to so many more Rishonim, maybe we should reverse the psak. Maybe Sakonas Aver should be Decha Shabbos. Why? So he says, the klal in the poskim is, sofik, if there's any sofik or svek sveke, so you sofik sakon is Decha Shabbos. What if you have a machlokas haposkim, where the samchon is Decha Shabbos, do you go basar rov haposkim? So they say, no, a machlokas haposkim is also sofik sakon is nefoshes. See, and the Gemara says in the last perik in Yuma, Gemara says at the end of the first perik in Ksubis also, you're not allowed to follow Raif to say that he's going to die anyway, or he says he's going to survive anyway, so don't be Machal Shabbos. Let's say the fellow is sick, and the odds are, even if we drive him to the hospital, he's probably going to die anyway. Or the odds are that he's not really a Masuk, and even if we don't drive him to the hospital, he's going to survive anyway. So Gemara says, you're not allowed to go Basar Raif. You have to be Machal Shabbos because of the niyut possibility. Maybe his life is endangered. And maybe by driving up to the hospital, maybe this will save his life. Yeah, what if it's absolutely ridiculous? Let's say once in a long while, they write up in the newspaper, someone had an ingrown toenail, and he developed blood poisoning or whatever, and he died. So anyone who has an ingrown toenail is allowed to be Michal Shabbos to drive to the hospital on Shabbos. So the question is, any case, Gemara says, you don't go bus arrive. You never go bus arrive in Safik Sakana. So the Pashto says, that's what the Chaim Oizer has a tshuva. Many poskim say, when you have a suffix sakana, and the odds are that he's going to die anyway, the odds are that he's going to survive anyway. So what are you being Mechal Shabbos about? So the question is, what does the Chayla think? This decision has to be made by the Chayla. If the Chayla is nervous and he thinks that maybe my life will be saved by going to the hospital now, then it's called the suffix sakana. Let's say if it would be the weekdays, Monday through Friday, when the fellow goes to work and he has an ingrown toenail, he wouldn't take off a day from work. He would go to work. He'll go to see the hospital. He'll go to see the doctor after hours. That means that he's not really nervous for his life. He knows an ingrown toenail is not a suffix sakana. So if he himself is not nervous about it, then it's not Decha Shabbos. Whenever you have a suffix sakana, so the din is you don't go bus arrive. If the chayla, it depends on the chayla, if the chayla is nervous, but if the chayla himself is not really nervous, he doesn't think this is going to save his life, then it's not called the suffix sakana.
Is it really safe to say that? Because like now you have a guy who's going to say like, okay, it's on me to determine whether I should go to the hospital. If he really is sick, and he really does need to go to the hospital, he's not going to want to be Mechal Shabbos. Like if you tell him, okay, the halacha is that it's mutter to break Shabbos, then he'll go. But like once you tell him, like, you know, it's up to you, whatever you want to do, so like even if he really does need medical help, he won't necessarily go.
We don't tell him it's up to him whether he wants me to help. We tell him it's up to him, is he nervous or not? So I said, let's say the guy's a daredevil. He's going to jump off from the top of the Empire State Building. Look, man, no hands. So he's a meshuganah. So that's worse than a 50-50. If it's anywhere near a 50-50, Safik Sakana, where you say it's not up to him. But if it's nowhere near 50-50, then it's up to him not to decide whether he wants to be Mechal Shabbos. It's up to him to decide, are you nervous about it? What would you do if it would be a weekday? Would you take off a day from work? Would you take off a few hours from work and go to the hospital? Or would you go to the hospital after you do your day's work? So if you're not nervous about it, then it's not called a Safek Sakana. We have to tell them that you're Doicha Shabbos. If it's a real Safek Sakana, you're Doicha Shabbos.
Is this related to a Shomer HaSayim?
Yeah, that's what it's based on. Shame Psaim Hashem means if the fellow himself is not nervous about it, that's how all the Paschim say. That's a din. Shame Psaim Hashem. When the odds are far, it's a far-fetched suffix sakana, and the patient himself is not really nervous about it. He doesn't think that this is going to save his life. So then it's not called the suffix sakana. So the... So that Gemara in... That Gemara in Avodah Zarah, when the Gemara says that an infection in the eye is considered a suffix sakana. So the way it says in our Gemara, our Girsa in the Gemara has it, because Shiraina de'ena b'liba talya, the blood vessel behind the eye is connected with the heart, they may turn out to be suffix sakana sachayim, not just sakana seva. So the way it's in our Girsa, it doesn't say like that. So you just have the Meiri obviously had a different Girsa in the Gemara. So the Sridiyah says like this, the Poskim have a klal, whenever there's a machloikis, whenever there's a suffix in Mitzias, whether it's suffix sakana, even a svek svek of sakana is decha Shabbos. Unless it's such a far-fetched suffix sakana that the patient himself is not really nervous about it, then you apply Shem Psaim Hashem. So the...
What about if the guy is crazy? Meaning, what if he thinks that... If he's worried that he's going to die from it,
No, you don't listen to him then. That's ridiculous. They bottled out dates of das kol bani adam. That doesn't count. That doesn't count. So again, so the Sridi Yesh has like this: the poskim have a clout. If it's a suffix in mitzias, whether there is a sakana or not. So if it's nowhere near 50-50, and nonetheless the Gemara says lehoch bepikuach nefesh sachar harayv, you have to be zoriz and run to be mechal Shabbos. So that's up to the patient to decide. Say mechal Shabbos. What if it's We know what the facts are. The doctor tells the fact. And it's a machlokes in the poskim where they allowed to be machal Shabbos for this. So how do you deal if it's a machlokes in the poskim? So they say also, since lahocha b'bikoch nefoshes zachar harayv, so not only the rayv of what the metzias is, the rayv of the halacha as well. So if you have a machlokes in the poskim, 95 poskim say you're not allowed to be machal Shabbos. Not called the pikoch nefesh. If 5 poskim say that it is called the pikoch nefesh, so even though it's 95-5, you would be Mechal Shabbos. What if it's 99-1? What if it's a Shita Yechidor? So a Shita Yechidor, that we ignore. That's like Echad Mini Elef Alfei Elofim. You ignore that, that's not enough to be considered a Suffix Sakana. So the Sridi Yesh says, if you would just have the Meiri, stands alone disagreeing with all the other Poskim, the Meiri is the only one who says, Sakana Sever is Decha Shabbos, so we would ignore the Meiri. So he says, but it's not... The Miri doesn't stand alone. You have another two Rishonim who agree with the Miri. Who are the other two Rishonim? So it comes out as 97-3. So since it's 3, so it's not a Shita Yechidah, so you should say, Sakana Sever should be Decha Shabbos, because Lehoch B'Koch Nefosh Sachar HaRav. Who are the other two Rishonim who say? So he quotes a Taisus in Sukkot. So Gemara says in Masech HaSukkot, you have to sit in Sukkot on Yontav Teshuva came to Dura. The same way you would sit in your own home, so you should sit in the sukkah. What if he'll sleep in his bedroom, let's say there's no steam in the bedroom. He's afraid he's going to sleep in his bedroom, he's going to get sick, he's going to catch a cold. But there is steam in the kitchen. So he'd move his bed into the kitchen and go to sleep in the kitchen. So if there's no steam in the sukkah, he's afraid he's going to sleep in the sukkah, get eaten in the sukkah. It's extremely uncomfortable. Let's say normally a person eats in the dining room, but if there's no steam in the dining room, there's a leak, the window is broken, the snow is coming in, the rain is coming in, so then he would eat in the bedroom. If it's extremely uncomfortable, he'll eat in the bedroom. You have no choice. So the sukkah is supposed to be the bedroom, the dining room, the den, is supposed to be everything. But if it's uncomfortable, if it would be your own home and you wouldn't eat in the dining room, you would eat in the kitchen, you would eat in the den because it's uncomfortable in the dining room. So if it's uncomfortable in the sukkah, then we say teshuva kein taduru, then you go eat in the house. So the Gemara says, what if a person has a choli ba'ayin, his eyes hurt, and outside the wind is blowing, he's going to eat in the sukkah, it's cold outside, he's going to be in pain. If he eats in the house, if he sleeps in the house, it'll be much more comfortable. And if he would have been in his house, in the dining room, the wind would be blowing in the dining room, he wouldn't eat in the dining room, because he has a choli ha'ayin. So then the Gemara says, Teshuva kein taduru, even if it's only a chol ba'ayin, Let him not eat in the sukkah. Let him not sleep in the sukkah. Let him eat in the house. The Tosfos comments on that Gemara, we're not talking about a sakonas ayin. If there'll be a sakonas ayin, Tosfos said that's doicha kol ha-Torah kula. We're just talking choyle einayim. Choyle einayim is potam in a sukkah because Tosfos came to dur. So Tosfos says if there'll be a sakonas ayin, it says in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that sakonas ayin is doicha kol ha-Torah kula. So the Sweet Yesh quotes, Atosfos in Sukkah, does that the fair, Sakonas Ayin is Decha Kola Terakulu. So the problem is that that's not what it says in the Sakon. That's not what it says in the Gemara Navar Zara. Did the Tosfos have the other Girsa that says that Sakonas Ayin is Decha? Let's see, where is this? Here, Apilo Chosh B'Yenov. This Tosfos in Sukkah, Chavava Man Aleph Dimar Maschal, Apilo Chosh B'Yenov. So Tosfos says, "Sakonas Aver, because Sakonas Nefash is Dami." That's what Tosfos writes. If there would be a Sakonas Aver, that's a din of Sakonas Nefash. So that's what it says in Tosfos. So the Rashash writes, he thinks that it's a misprint in Tosfos, because Sakonas Aver is not Dechad Kol HaTorah Kula. How does he know it's a misprint? Maybe that was Tosfos' Girsa. So now they printed the Tosfos HaRosh on Sukkah. That's the way it says, the way the Rashash was Magia. It's hard to build on this line in Tosfos, because the Tosfos HaRosh has the exact same Tosfos word for word except for that one word. Instead of the way it's written by us in Tosfos, Sakonas Eber, Sakonas Nefoshes, Afilo Lachalol of Shabbos, Kinemuchach, and Avodah Zarah, Daf, Chav Chesam, and Aleph, Kabi Ayin Shemardo. So our Gemara doesn't have that, and the Tosfos HaRosh has it, he reads it correctly in Tosfos, not Sakonas Eber. Sakonas Ayin is Decha Shabbos, because Shuraina Deina Beliba Talyu. So that the Tosfos is not a raya. Then the Sweet Yesh brings another raya. There's a Mordechai, where the Mordechai quotes a Rabbi Natan. It says like this: a fellow was in an accident on Shabbos and his finger got cut off. So we're discussing if we'll drive him to the hospital now. They'll be able to sew the finger back on, and he'll have the use of all the 10 fingers. If we wait till after Havdalah, they won't be able to sew it back on. And the guy is listening when we're having the whole conversation. So the Rabbi Natan says the guy can die from a heart attack. The rabbi says, the doctor is consulting the rabbi, and the rabbi says, let's not drive him to the hospital because he's going to survive anyway. So he won't have the use of the hand, so he'll have to amputate the hand. After Shabbos, we'll amputate the hand, but the guy will survive. So Rabbi Natan says the guy can die from aggravation when he hears that. So Rabbi Natan says, of course it's Decha Shabbos. So where do you see from the Rabbi Natan that he said Sakonas Eber is Decha Kol HaTorah Kula? He said sometimes if the patient hears what the doctors are discussing, so the Sakonas Eber may turn out to be Sakonas HaChayim. It's not just Sakonas Eber, but if you only have Sakonas Eber and the patient doesn't hear the doctors discussing amongst themselves what they're going to do. If the doctors are discussing, so then in principle the Rabbi Natan agrees with everybody else. Sakonas Eber is not Decha Shabbos. So the Pashta says the Miri stands alone. Miri says it. Miri had the Girsa in the Gemara. Sakonas Eber is Decha Kol HaTorah Kula. But the Tosfos in Sukkah is probably a misprint on Daf Chavav and Aleph. And the Rabbi Natan that the Sweetie Esh quotes from the Mordechai quotes Rabbi Natan, it's Faker. The Mordechai says just the reverse. It's not that Sakonas Eber is considered Sakon. It's he may die from aggravation. If there is such a concern that the patient may die from aggravation, which sometimes happens, so then it's Sakonas Kol HaChayim. So we really, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to say that you should reverse the Psak in the Shulchan Aruch because of the Me'iri. The Pashtus is that we assume, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, that Sakonas Eber is not Deicha Shabbos.
You said previously that if there's just even if it's like 100 to 1, if the one person, not everyone is entitled to an equal opinion. So if the one person is like, how do we? Like, I mean, obviously, if it's the Meiri or the Tosfos, then that's pretty on the same playing field. Like if it's like Ramosha against like everyone else, but he's the Das Yachid, would that be a reason to even go by the Das Yachid? Like
good question. Okay, that's a good question. I don't know. In Yerideya, there's a simon about Pikuach Nefesh Deicha Kol HaTorah Kula, simon Kufn and Zayin. So it says Pikuach Nefesh Deicha Kol HaTorah Kula, except for the Gimel Averus HaChemuras, but the Zor Gimel Reis and Shvichas Damin. So the Shach there writes Tzorchiyun, he's not sure what's the din, whether Sakonas Aver is Deicha Shari Surim. Are you allowed to eat treifas? Let's say a person has a... he's losing the sight of his eyes, or he's losing the use of his fingers or something, and they tell him if you eat chazer, it's barak and menusa, that is going to cure your problem. If you eat oysters, or if you eat crabfish, or you eat whatever, some treifa food, this will save the aver. You'll be able to function. So the Shach writes that maybe sakana sefer is decha kala terakulam. So the Egli Tal is a sefer on Hilchus Shabbos by the author of the Avnei Nezer, Sachet Shavar Rebbe. So he, in his introduction to the sefer, he poses his kasha, how could the Shach write Zarchian? It's just a one-line Shach. He's misupik whether sakana sefer is decha kala terakulam. It says it beferish in Hilchus Shabbos. That is not doicha melachas deraisa. So I kind of say it's only mater isurim derabbanan. So the pashtus says that the shach is against the gemara. The shach is against the shulchan aruch. So the Egle Tal and the hakdama tries to faremfri, tries to answer the kasha. So he says maybe there's a difference between Shabbos and shari surim. Maybe Shabbos is shkula keneged kol mitzvahs kulam. So in order to be mechal Shabbos, you have to have sakonas kolach. Kol achayim, but shar mitzvahs haTorah are not shokol keneged kol haTorkula. It's only one particular mitzvah, so sakana sefer would be doicha shar isur. But because Shabbos is shkula keneged kol mitzvahs kulam, so it's only doicha. It would only be mutter to be mechal Shabbos if it's pikuach nefesh of kol achiyas kulay. It's a pilpul. It's a difficult yishuv on the shach. It's a difficult shach. The pashta said the shach is very difficult. It's not called pikuach nefesh.
Could there be a difference between like a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv malkus, and a bear that's chiyuv misa versus one that's chiyuv malkus?
We have no sources in the Gemara. The pashta says in order to violate, in order not to fulfill a mitzvah saseh, so you're not mechuyev to get sick to do a mitzvah saseh, because we have a klal. The Ramah has the klal hamevazveis. You're not obligated to spend more than one-fifth of your total savings in order to enable yourself to fulfill a mitzvah. Let's say a guy stuck somewhere and he doesn't have dalad minim. The only way to get dalad minim for yontif is to ship it from some location, and he's going to have to blow in more than one-fifth of his total savings to fulfill a mitzvah. So the Ramah says, you're not mechuyev to. Let's say the only way to get, he lives in a house, he needs a mezuzah, he can't afford the mezuzah. The only way to pay for a mezuzah is if he's going to spend more than one-fifth of his total savings. So you're not mechuyev. Not mechuyev to do a mitzvah if it's going to cost so much money. Hon Rav. That's called Hon Rav. Certainly not mechuyev to do the mitzvah if you're going to get sick. Not only by sukkah. By sukkah, because teshuva came to do it, but even in other mitzvahs also. Moshe has a whole tshuva. You're not mechuyev to do a mitzvah if you know you're going to get sick in advance. Let's say some people are allergic to gluten. So if they're going to eat the regular, normal matzahs, they're going to get sick. So some of the poskim write, you have to be ma'aser nefesh for mitzvahs, you have to eat matzah and get sick, but you can die also. You can die also with the allergy. The pashta says, you're not mechuyev to eat the matzah if you know in advance that you're going to get sick, even not deathly sick. Not mechuyev to do a mitzvah, it's going to make you sick. But when it comes to averis, we don't distinguish. The din is, you're only allowed to violate an aver if there's at least a suffix akonis nefoshes.
You're going to get temporarily sick, and the sickness is not going to be equal to a fifth of your position. Are you still not mechuyev to do the mitzvah? I mean, you're just going to.
What do you mean? He's going to get a headache. Just going to get a mild headache.
I mean, even more than a mefush, but let's say you're going to catch a very bad cold and you're going to be helpful in Mishka, but it's only a few days.
I don't think you're mechuyev to do the mitzvah. No, I don't think so.
Does tzar, whether emotional or physical, ever play a role? Like if you're going to get, if you're going to get embarrassed, how likely you're going to be, like, do you have to put yourself in that kind of situation that you're going to call Shabbos? Like,
again, what's the Shaila?
If you're in a scenario where, you're going to suffer embarrassment if you're going to call Shabbos, if you want to. Like, I'm saying, does that ever play a role?
Kavod HaBriyah sometimes plays a role to permit us, there's a whole sugya in brachas on Daf Chaf Aleph. When do we allow people to violate Dini HaTorah Mishom Kavod HaBriyos? So under Rabbanans sometimes there are different degrees of Kavod HaBriyos. There are different degrees. Let's say a Kohen is sleeping and he doesn't have any clothes on, and then someone dies in the building. So that's one Kavod HaBriyos. He has to run out of the building without any clothes on. That's a more serious Kavod HaBriyos than to walk with his underwear. they're different. In Shulchan Aruch, they talk about Taisa, talks about different degrees of Kavod Abrius and different Isurim. Which Isur are you dealing with? There are a lot of rules and regulations. When Kavod Abrius is Deicha Mitzvah Sator, when they're not Deicha. Yeah. Yeah, but the Meiri says it even on Shabbos. So the Ekle Tal says not on Shabbos. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Sakana Seber is not Doiche. So the Ekle Tal understood the Shach. He's only talking about Shar Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam aside from Shabbos. Otherwise, the Shach could have should have quoted it and said Beferish not so. So he breaks his head. The Ekle Tal breaks his head to distinguish within the Shach between Shabbos and Kol HaTorah Kulam. Pashtus says the Shach forgot Sif Yud Zayin. Pashtun says the Shach said the same as the Miri, and he forgot Sif Yitzayin. Said that the Egle Tal can't believe that the Shach forgot Sif in Shulchan Aruch. That Sakana Sefer is not Deicha Shabbos. But that's why he quetched to distinguish between Shabbos, the Shabbos of Shkula Keneged Kola Terakula. So that's why he needs Sakonas Kola Chaim. And Shar Mitzvahs are only individual Mitzvahs. Sakana Sefer would be Deicha Shar Mitzvahs.
But we accept
that. I don't know. The Pashtun says we don't accept the Shach. Pashtus is like it says here, that Sakana Sefer is not Deicha Shabbos, not Deicha Shari Surim either. Pashtus is not Deicha.
So how do we do with the stories, you know, like by Dali Kosos, that certain people like would get sick for a long time by Dali Kosos, and they definitely did that? Is that just like the amount of, like, the famous shows of dim, or was that like...
The Rambam points out that there were certain rare mitzvahs, well, we don't say hamavazus al yavazus yes mechamish, is b'chiv to spend all of your money, and even hon rav. So one of those mitzvahs is abrikosis. Whatever the nature of the mitzvah is, pisumi nisa, so then you b'chiv to spend everything that you have. So abrikosis is one of the mitzvahs that's pisumi nisa. So it depends how sick the guy's going to get. If he's going to get a little bit sick, then we say, if the suffix sakana, for sure you don't do it. But to get a little bit sick, so then we say he's mukhiv to drink the abacosis, even though he's going to have a headache from Pesach till Shavuos. That's how the Gemara says. Yeah.
I think
Rosh Hashanah
has a, I don't think he says it's loskana, he has a havamina that if you're going to embarrass someone in public, maybe you allow him to call shops to save someone from being publicly humiliated. That's as if you kill him.
Not familiar. Okay, I don't know. Every Eber. He extrapolates from the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about Sakana Sayin. So we have the Girs in the Gemara, only Ayin, because the infection in the eye can cause him to lose his life, because the blood vessel connects between the eye and the heart. Shiraina de'ena, beliba talya. And the Meiri extrapolates from the Gemara. He had a different Girsa. He extrapolates that Sakana Sefer is Deicha Kol HaTarkula. Deicha Shabbos, Deicha Kol HaTarkula.
The way the Rebbe is saying that we shouldn't pass him, like, even there the Shabbos Hach, and near the Hach of Sakana Sefer, Shari Surim, he's talking about a case where a Kohen has to reattach a limb. The limb got cut off, but the coin is allowed to reattach it. Would the coin be, if a Goy is doing it, would you?
When the Kohen goes into the operating room and they have the dead limb, so he's already mitame to the mace at that time. So the Pashta says that you're not allowed to. He's not allowed to be mitame la mace. One might argue the point and say that after the dead limb is going to be attached to the body of the Kohen, it'll have a tchias ha-mesim, it'll no longer be mitame. One could argue like that. It won't be mitame any longer. But right now it is metame. Right now it is dead. So the Pashto says it is metame now. So the Pashto says the Kohen is not allowed to go into the operating room knowing in advance that he's being metame to the mace. Pashto says it's not allowed.
Maybe there's a difference between a limb that's already dead and one that's still, one that a person still has. We had last year. We had last year with in Momentsia where the kid's dead and Elio has to revive him and he's a Kohen. And so they prove from there that there's no mitzvah nefesh if the person's already dead. Because why did it have to be bad? If he didn't submit b'tuch nefesh, why do they have to for sure know?
Yeah.
So maybe if the limb's already removed, there's no more type of b'tuch nefesh on the limb. But if the person, if you're saving a limb the person still has, it'd be different. By reattaching a limb that's already gone, it's already done. The fact that you can do it chesed mesim.
Yeah.
But it might not be the same type of
no, the Gemara is talking. The person has sight of his eyes are functioning now. but he has an infection and he's afraid that this will cause him to lose his eyesight. Is he allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to retain the eyesight? So the way we have the Girsa and the Gemara, you're not allowed to. And the way the Miri has the Girsa and the Gemara, you are allowed to. So the Pashta says that the Miri stands alone. No one else agrees with the Miri. So that's not called a suffix Sakonis Tefash. You have 100 Rishonim and 99 say one way and one says the other way. That's not called the suffix Sakonis Nefashis. If it would be 95-5, it's not a Shita Yechido, then you can say Lahocha Bibkoch Nefashis Achar Harayv. But it's a 99-1. So then you ignore the one. That's the Pashtus. Then you ignore the one. Yeah. The next Simon discusses, Simon.
Is there anyone that says, even according to the assumption that the country is not known for Shari Simbatura, does anyone differentiate between maybe different Ivarim or Bishav Al Hasset, maybe different Violet Yisurim?
To violate an Avera B'Shevi Al-Tasas, some Achrayinim raised the possibility, Rabbi Kevegan, the Pischei Tshuva, and Kufnum Zayin, Yeridei, raised the possibility, maybe to violate an Avera B'Shevi Al-Tasas, maybe that has the same status as a mitzvah Saseh, that Al-Yavazu is Yesim Yechoymesh. But where are you going to have Shevi Al-Tasas? Where are you going to have a person violate an Avera B'Shevi Al-Tasas? Usually the violating B'Kumbi Asseh.
Drive you to the hospital. If they drive you to the hospital and they do the surgery,
you know, I'm going to get a non-Jew to drive me to the hospital. Yeah, Mira Lanachri is mutter even for less than that. In Mechor Dushayim B'Sakana, which is way less. Sakana Sevi for sure. All the Rabbanas are mutter. That's what we discussed yesterday. In Sif, where was that? Sif Yud Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch quotes four opinions. Exactly how do you paskin? So then he recommends the last line, B'Divri Hasvar HaShlish is Nirim. Mechaber thinks we should paskin like the third opinion, that's the Ramban. So the Ramban says to violate Malacha Deraisa on Shabbos, you need dafke suffix Sakana Sachaim. If there's only Sakana Sevri, you're not allowed to violate any Deraisas, but all the Rabbanans are mutter. And if it's not even Sakana Sevri, it's only a Chodesh Eimbo Sakana. Chodesh Eimbo Sakana means a person who has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. So for a Chodesh Eimbo Sakana, you're only allowed to violate Xeris, you're not allowed to violate Malachas the Rabbanim. And if he's less than a Chodesh Eim B'Sakana, he's just a bari with a Mechesh B'Yam, a healthy person, he just has a couple of aches and pains, and not only do we not give many leniencies, we're not Mekel, we have a stringency. That's the whole Perek Yudalit, Shemayna Shvatzin, Perek Yudalit Masech Shabbos, that this Xeris the Rabbanim, the Refu is us. You're not allowed to take any medication. Xeris Shem Yishachik Samamanim. Even though the Xeris Shem Yishachik, the reason for the gzer was that he may grind up some of the herbs on his own, he may violate tochein, but the Gemara is beferish, the gzer applies even when there's nothing to grind up. The Gemara says, you're not allowed, let's say a person has a bellyache, but he's able to walk around, he has a bellyache. So he's not allowed to take a hot water bottle and put it on his belly. What's he going to grind up? He's not going to grind up the water, not going to grind up the plastic container that he puts, and there's nothing to grind up over there. So it's clear from the Gemara, from the Shulchan Aruch, all the cases that this gzera was introduced as a loy plug rabbanon. Even in all the cases where the reason for the gzera doesn't apply, there's nothing to grind up, the gzera the rabbanon still applies, still an isa refuah. The question is, what about bizman hazeh? What about bizman hazeh that nobody ever grinds up? When a person needs samamonim, nobody grinds up anything. Maybe in the days of the Gemara it was a loy plug, because in some cases it will grind up, so they made gzera even in a case where there's nothing to grind up. But Bibzana said that nobody grinds anything up, so maybe there shouldn't be any gzera. So one of the rabbis from Yeshiva University many years ago published an essay in a Yeshiva publication that in his shul he already permitted refuah b'Shabbos because the reason for the gzera doesn't apply. Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about that, and this person, he's no longer alive, the one who wrote the essay, so he wrote that the Tosfos and Beitz on Daf Laman Amud Aleph says that even though the rabbis of the Gemara made exer against Mashmiya Kol, you're not allowed to dance, you're not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos and Yontif, so Tosfos is a little lenient about that. That is manazeh, it's mutter, because our musical instruments, the reason why you're not allowed to play musical instruments is that you may see that it's off key, and you may, by mistake, without thinking, Shemi Sakin Kleshir, you may fix it, to adjust it, that it should be back on key again. You know how to fix your piano. When the piano doesn't sound good, you have to call an expert to call him in to tune the piano. We don't know how to do it. The Tosis says that because our musical instruments are much more complicated than they were in the days of the Gemara, so the whole reason for the Gezeira doesn't apply. So we permit people to play the piano on Shabbos. You play the piano on Shabbos. We don't follow that Tosis. So this rabbi quoted, just like Tosis says, that if the reason doesn't apply, the whole Gezeira doesn't apply. But the same thing over here by medicine. So Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about this person, so he said, we don't understand what Tosis said. We don't follow Tosis. We don't permit people to play the violin or play the piano on Shabbos, and we don't allow refuah on Shabbos b'zmanas either. In the days of the Gemara, it's clear that it was the Gezeira the Rabbanah that was instituted b'loy plug. Even when the reason for the Gezeira didn't apply, the Gezeira still applied. Here in the Shulchan Aruch, it says, when you have a choyle, sheyesh bo sakone, this is in Siman Shinchov Ches Sif Dalit. So they're quoting a Magen Mishnah. The Machaba quotes a Magen Mishnah who understands this from the Ramban. If you have a suffix sakone, osim lo kol shirigilim lasos lo b'chol. You do whatever you would do if it would have been a weekday. So the Magen Mishnah says that's the expression that the Ramban uses in the Torah of Adam. Different parts of Shulchan Aruch are based on different Rishonim. So this is straight, a lot of this because now is straight from the Ramban and Torah Sodom. Other parts are based on Rambam's, other parts are based on the beginning of Yeridah, it's all based on the Rashba and the Torah Sabayis. And all of Hilchas Avelis is based on the Ramban and Torah Sodom and the Rosh and the end of Moed Kotten. Different parts. So this is Mamash, a quotation from the Ramban. So the Magen Mishnah says, from the expression that the Ramban uses, it sounds like you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, do Kol Tzarachov to take care of whatever you would do in the weekdays, even though you know that that's not really going to make or break saving his life. The guy either he's going to survive without it, or he's going to die even with it. What we're going to do, some procedure on Shabbos, we're going to do everything we do on Shabbos that we would do on the weekdays, even though many of the things we do on the weekdays are just Liyas HaSeis. We don't really think that that's going to save his life. So the Mishnah Berurah has a long bir halacha. It goes on and on and on and on. He says this is what the Magen Mishnah says based on his understanding of the Ramban. Zeh loshon Ramban b'toras Adam. Because of the Magen Mishnah, l'fi anizdaiti tzorachion, l'fi anireh, he thinks that many Rishonim disagree. So the Mishnah Berurah thinks he shouldn't follow this psak of kol tzorachov to be matir malachas deraisa. He says the Magen Mishnah understood the Ramban like that, so maybe he can be makel to violate the Ramban. But he thinks Malachas Deraisa you should not do, because he has all these kashas.
With this, if it turns out that some of the procedures were not necessary retroactively, we're not going to follow the Magen Mishnah, would that require a Chiyuv Chatas? Or is it Hutra or Zechoya? Does that tie into it?
Chacham Avadya Yosef right, so he thinks that this shadow depends whether there is a machlokes or rishonim, whether pikuach nefesh is derech Shabbos is a pchin of duchuya or hutra. Doesn't mean that it's heter gomor. The prohibition of Shabbos was given, it was never intended to cover a case of sakanas nefoshes. But he's saying no, that the pikuach nefesh is derech Shabbos. If it's derech, then it's only for the sake of pikuach nefesh. And if it's hutra, then everything is muta. I personally don't understand why it's told he's ever there at all. I don't think absolutely anything to do with Chuya Hutra. I don't know why he says that. That's what he writes. Anyway, so the Mishnah Berurah thinks you're not allowed to do a malacha deraisa for kol tzaracha. He thinks that the guy will be chayv chatas. There was no heter. Rav Elbel Soloveitchik quotes in his sefer on the Rambam that his father Rav Chaim used to paskin like this, kol tzarachov. And he said that none of the kashas of the Mishnah Berurah piles up 10 kashas here. Rav Elbel has a long essay in the Sefer on the Ram. He says none of the kashas are difficult. They're talking about two different cases. Let's say on Yom Kippur. So a person, you have elderly people in their 90s, and the doctor says if they'll fast on Yom Kippur, it'll be some people can fast to the age of 120. Okay? But if a person is functioning, walking around, he's a healthy person, but they say if he will fast on Yom Kippur, he can lose his life. So that's pikuach nefesh. That's not a chodesh she'esh b'sakana. That's pikuach nefesh is deicha. So that all the cases of the Mishnah Berurah are talking about such a case. A person, he's not a chodesh she'esh b'sakana. he's healthy. But if he's going to fast, then he will be bisakana. So then you only allow what's going to save his life, what may possibly save his life. But if he already is a chodesh yesh bisakana, he had surgery, he had serious surgery, and he's half dead, and we have to monitor his, he's hooked up to a whole bunch of things. You have to monitor him to make sure that he pulls out of it. He is a chodesh yesh bisakana. We want to pull him out of the sakana. Then the din of the Magen Mishnah applies. Then you say the kol tzarachav is mutam. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to tell over this story, that when his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, took his first rabbinical position, so his father, Rav Chaim, made him promise him, he shook hands with a tekir skav, he made him promise him that he'll follow his psak, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's psak, that on Yom Kippur, we allow many people to eat on Yom Kippur. Some of the people have a condition, and if they're going to fast, they'll be besakana. But they're not yet a chodesh yesh besakana. So then you tell them, machilim also pachas pachas mikashir. Why should you allow him to eat a whole regular meal? Tell him to eat a chotzi shir, and then wait 10 minutes, then eat another chotzi shir, wait another 10 minutes, eat another chotzi shir. He will save his life like that. He's not a chodesh yesh besakana. He's a healthy person, but he has a condition. But if the, so then you say, you have to be mamayit. Machilam also akala kal tchila. Why should you allow him to violate a shir sholem? If you eat on Yom Kippur, shir sholem, it's an isur kores. If you eat a chatzis shira food, it's an chatzis shira asman atar, but there's no kores. So the Gemara says in the last parak in Yuma, when a person is a choyla and he has to eat, let's say people are starving in a concentration camp, and they hardly gave him any food. So a lot of the people died with the food that they gave. They didn't give you enough nourishment to live on. They didn't give you enough calories to live on. So let's say they give you tray for food. So you have no choice. They gave chazer. So you have no choice. You have to eat the nevela. You have to eat the non-kosher food. So if they give you a choice, you can either eat chelev, which has an isur kores, or eat nevela, which has only a lav. So if they can equally save your life, so only why should you violate the isur kores, violate the isur lav? That's called machila mosa. We feed them. Akal akal tchila. Let them violate the lesser isur. Let them not violate the greater isur. So to eat a chatzi shira on Yom Kippur is an isa deraisa. It's only muta for chole sheyesh bo sakana. But to eat a shir shalom is an isa kari. So why eat a shir shalom if you don't need it? If it's not necessary to save your life, eat a chatzi shira. Eat a chatzi shira now. Wait 10 minutes. Eat another chatzi shira. Wait 10 minutes. So you only violate a chatzi shira. But if the person is sick in the hospital, he's a chole sheyesh bo sakana, and we're trying to pull him out of the sakana. Then Rav Chaim said, then the halacha is like the Magen Mishnah. You give him kol tzarachav. On a regular weekday, he wouldn't eat a little bit of food and wait 10 minutes to eat a little bit of food. He would eat a regular meal. So he said that on Yom Kippur also, such a person, you shouldn't give him pachas pachas mikashir. You should have him eat a regular shir. Many times that's not the case. It depends. Is he already a chodesh yesh b'sakana? Or is he an older person who has a condition, a dangerous condition, which may develop to become a sakana? So to prevent him from falling into a sakana, then you say give him pachas pachas mikshir, akal akal tchila. But if he already is in a situation where he is a chayla sheish b'sakana, then he eat regular meals. Rav Kook also learned in Valozhin. He learned in Valozhin the last years in Valozhin when they were both Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was co-Rosh Yeshiva with the Netziv. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was much younger. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. But he was appointed Ko-Rosh Yeshiva. And they gave a totally different style shiur. So Rav Kook was very close to the Netziv. He didn't enjoy Rav Chaim's style of learning that, like we use today. He liked the Netziv style of learning. So he writes that this was the tradition in Valozhin, not Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. This was from Rav Chaim Valozhiner. This tradition in Valozhin was from Chaim Valozhin. The Netziv wrote a commentary on the Shiltas when he was a teenager, the Haimik Sholom. So the Netziv writes, when he came to the yeshiva, he was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years of Valozhin yeshiva. He was the Rosh Yeshiva. Valozhin lasted a little over 90 years, from 1801 to 18, something like that, 1891, 92, something like that, and then it was closed by the Russian government. So the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years. When he came to the yeshiva as a young teenager, he writes that Nachlis David was still alive. Nachlis David, on Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Valozhin, from the first group of Talmidim who learned in Valozhin. And then he was invited by Rav Chaim Valozhin to give shurim in the yeshiva during the lifetime of Rav Chaim Valozhin. So he heard from the Nachlis, Rav Chaim Alojana had already passed away. Then it said married the daughter of Rav Bitzalev Alojana, who was the son of Rav Chaim Alojana. He was the one who printed the Nefesh HaChaim after the father died. Rav Chaim Alojana wrote a sefer on Hashkofa, and after he passed away, then Rav Bitzalev, his son, printed the sefer, and he called it Nefesh HaChaim, because his father's name was Chaim. So the Netziv came to the yeshiva when Rav Bitzalev was the Rosh Yeshiva. So the Netziv writes in his commentary on the Shiltas that Nachlas David was still alive, and he told him that Rav Chaim Alojana had paskin like this, Kol Tzarachov, that a Chayla Sheyesh Masakana Yom Kippur doesn't have to eat Pachas Pachas Mekishir. If he's a healthy person, we're afraid that by fasting he may fall into a Sakana, then you give him Pachas Pachas Mekishir. But if he already is in a state of a Chayla Sheyesh Masakana, so then the din is Kol Tzarachov. What's considered a suffix sakana? Let's say a person has a terrible situation of cancer, and the doctors say he's going to have to do surgery within the next 5 months or he's going to die. So they diagnose him on Shabbos. Are they allowed to do the surgery on Shabbos? The doctors say he can do the surgery anytime in the next 5 months. They didn't say, if there's a sakana nefashis hayom, you have to do the surgery today, otherwise the guy may die and this may save his life. So that's called pikuach nefesh, is Zecher Shabbos. What if it's a pikuach nefesh? He needs the surgery to save his life, but it doesn't have to be today. So the Ramban interprets, there is a Gemara in Ksuvis that really belongs in Shabbos. So the Rif took it out from Ksuvis and put it in Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara in Ksuvis says, Goneach, a person is sick. We mentioned the Tosfos on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, the bottom Tosfos, but we didn't discuss it yet. So that Tosfos quotes this Gemara from Ksuvis. Ksuvis daf Samach Amud Aleph. Omer Rebbe Merenus. Merenus is the name of a Tana. I don't know what kind of a name it is. Goneach Yonik Chola B'Shabbos. Goneach means some kind of sickness. It's unclear. What is Yechola? Yesh B'Sakana, Ein B'Sakana. It's unclear. Tosfos thinks that he's Yechola She'ein B'Sakana. So it says, to milk a cow on Shabbos is a Malacha. It's a question whether it's a malacha deraisa, malacha derabanan. That's what Tosfos discusses, whether milking cows. The Gemara says on Daf Tzadikei Omer Aleph that cholev chayv mishum mefarik. Cholev on Shabbos is a malacha. And it says chayv. Chayv means that it's chayv chatas, chayv a malacha deraisa. So Tosfos discusses, do we really paskin like that? Maybe milking a cow is only derabanan. We're going to have to talk about it. That was a big issue when they were first. Before 1948, before they established the Medina, when the Jews were first making colonies, they're making kibbutzim, so they didn't want to have avodah zarah. Avodah zarah means to have Arab workers on the farm. You have to have the avodah zarah they would worship. They didn't care. But avodah zarah, you can't build a Medina based on Arabs. You have to have avodah ivrit. You have to have, all the work has to be done by Jews. So when they had the kibbutzim, they said the milking of the cows must be done by Jews. You can't have a Shabbos goy. You can't establish a Medina based on a Shabbos going. So Rav Chaim Moshe was very upset, and the Chazon Ish lived in Eretz, was very upset, this hang-up about Avodah Zarah. They should give up already in Avodah Zarah. The best thing would be to have Arabs to do what they do in Europe, and the Jews had farms. They had non-Jews milk the cows on Shabbos. That was a solution to the problem. So they didn't want it. So at that time, they were writing a lot about milking cows. What malacha is involved about milking cows? So that we'll have to discuss in connection with this Tosfos. So there's a question going, Rabbi Merenus is a Tana. He says, a person has some kind of a condition. It's unclear whether the Goneach, how sick is he? Is he Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, Ein B'Sakana? How sick is he? So he says, he's not allowed to milk a cow directly with his hands. Normally, that'll be a real malacha, either a real malacha deraiz or a real malacha derabanan. So he should drink the milk directly from the udder of the cow. He should put his lips on the udder. That's Kalachayat. So do a malacha, kalachayah, that's mutter for the choyla. So that's the question, what kind of a choyla is he? Is he a choyla yesh b'sakana, ein b'sakana? So Tosfos understands, we're going to have to learn that. Tosfos thinks that goneach, moaning and groaning, gedichas means moaning and groaning. He has aches and pains, he's a choyla, he can't function normally. Choyla she'ein b'sakana. The Ramban and the Mochamis does not learn like that. The Ramban understands goneach means, he's a choyla she'yesh b'sakana. No, Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana. So what are you making crazy? You should go drink the milk from the cow directly. Why not allow him to violate Malachas Deraisa? So Dr. Ramban, no, it says Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, but it's not Sakana Sayom. It doesn't have to be. The doctors say he has to drink more warm milk every single day. But if he skips one day, he's not going to die if he skips a day, as long as he drinks the other 6 days of the week. So whenever you have a situation of a chole she'esh b'sakana, but it doesn't have to be today, he'll survive even if he's not mechal Shabbos today. But if he will milk the cow and drink the warm milk, this will save his life. He'll be able to skip a day in the middle of the week and drinking the warm milk. Ramban says that's the klal. We allow isurim derabbanon, but you don't allow an isur deraisa when you have a chole she'esh b'sakana. But it's not sakanas hayom. It's not necessary that he have to be mechal Shabbos today to save his life. He's not going to die anyway, but ultimately you will have to do this pu'ula. Ramban says that's what the Gemara said in Ksubas Daf Samach. You can violate Isurim Derabbanan and not Isurim Deraisa. So here in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote from this Perek Shmana Shvatzim, Perek Yud Dalet HaMasecha Shabbos, as all about the Gzeiras Refuah B'Shabbos, Mishnayos and Gemaras like that. We said there were four categories. The Shulchan Aruch wrote in Sif Yud Zayin, we should really follow V'divrei HaSvara HaShlishis Nirim. We should accept the Ramban's opinion that was the third from the four different opinions that were mentioned in the Mechaber and Sif Yud Zayin. So the Ramban divides everybody up into four categories. The Chol Shiyesh B'Sakon, if need be, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with Melachas Deraisa. If there's Sakonis Aver, you're only allowed to violate the Rabbanans. There's no head to violate the rice. It's not like the Meiri. Then you have Chodesh Embo Sakona. Chodesh Embo Sakona is defined by the Ramah is either Nofel Mishkov or Chodesh Kol Gufo. Means he has a condition which prevents him from functioning normally. So then we permit him to violate all Gzeris. We don't permit him to violate Malachas de Rabbanan, but we permit him to violate all Gzeris. Then the next category is a Bari with a Mechesh Bialma, a person who's healthy, but he has aches and pains, so not only do we not give him any leniencies, we have a chumra that he's not allowed to take any refuah. So let's say I don't drink schnapps all year long. When I have a cold, I drink schnapps to get better. Sir Arthur Fleming, he said when he got sick, what did he use? He said he was the one who developed penicillin. No. So he said when he gets sick, he drinks schnapps. He doesn't take this penicillin, what kind of thing? So when you get sick, you drink schnapps. So you're not allowed to take schnapps for refuah on Shabbos because it's refuah. So the Mishnah says, whatever's a Michael Briyim, there are a lot of people who drink schnapps all the time. They enjoy it. And they say a bracha when they drink it. So even though I do not enjoy schnapps, I only take schnapps when I'm sick. But that's considered a Michael Briyim. Let's say when a person has the beginning of a cold coming, so he drinks 3 cups of orange juice to have more whatever vitamin you have, vitamin C. So to strengthen him that he should get over the cold. It shouldn't become too bad a cold. Orange juice is a machal brim. People eat it all the time. So even though he only drinks 3 cups because he feels the cold coming on, so the Mishnah says whatever is a machal brim is mutter. So that's the cloud that the Mishnah has at the Shulchan Aruch repeats here. The Gzeira of Refu is only instituted when it's Refu HaNikeres, if it's Niker, that he's doing it L'Shem Refu. If it's a Michael Briyim, if it's something that a lot of people would do that, then it's not an Issa Refuah. So the Mishnah has a Machlekes HaTanoim. Let's say a person has some kind of a condition and he wants to shmer on oil. This oil is extremely expensive. So B'nai Melachim, they're rolling in dough. They collect all the taxes from their subjects. They're rolling in dough. They can waste all the money. So they shmer this oil all the time. They don't. It doesn't come from their pocket. They don't have to work for a living. Someone else is paying for it. So they shmir oil every day. They take a bath every day and they shmir oil. The poor slobs, the subjects who pay the taxes, they can't afford this oil. So this guy only, the farmer, when he's really sick, when he has a condition, is going to shmir this expensive shem and vered on his skin. So is that a refuah hanikeres or is it not a refuah hanikeres? It is, for b'nei malachim, it's not nikah, but for the poor subjects, who have to work for a living, it is a refuah hanikeres. So the Mishnah has a machlekes hatanoi, where the kol yisrael b'nei malachim are not. So there was a minority opinion that was not accepted. Kol yisrael b'nei malachim. All the Jews deserve to be rolling in dough. And we all deserve to be able to waste this shem and vered every day shmiring on our skin. So therefore, for every Jew in the world, it's not called refuah hanikeres. And that opinion has not been accepted. We don't paskin kol yisrael b'nei malachim. For the malachim, for the B'nai Malachim, they're allowed to shmear the oil. because they can do it all the time. By them, it's not nikar. But for a poor person, that's called refuah hanikar.
The Ramban about this said that there's no sakana said yom where only matir for
the Rabbanans.
The Rabbanans, that would be even for malacha the Rabbanans.
Yeah. All the Rabbanans, even malacha the Rabbanans. Yeah, pretty sure. In Sif Yud Zayin, where you have Shulchan Aruch quotes that Ramban with the four klolim, so the Ramah has another line. The Gemara says, on Daf Kuf Chav Tesem and Aleph, that Amir Lenachri is mutter on behalf of a Chodesh She'ein Bo Sakana. Why is Amir Lenachri mutter? Because Amir Lenachri is not even a malacha de Rabban, it's only a gzera mid de Rabban. You're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for you, a gzera, lest you yourself will go ahead and do the malacha. So that's a gzera mid de Rabban. So all gzeras amuta, that's what we assume. All gzeras amuta, but makam chayla she'im basakana. So the Gemara says, Amir Lenachri is mutter, but chayla she'im basakana. So the Ramo has, let's say, tzorche hatinoik. Let's say, the baby needs his bottle. He doesn't have his bottle, he's going to scream. What does the baby usually do when he has his bottle? He plays with his toys, he fights with his twin brother, or whatever he normally does. But then when he doesn't have his bottle, he doesn't function normally, whatever normally is for him. He beats everybody up, or he plays with his dollar, or something like that. He plays with his teddy bear. So when the baby's not sick, the baby's a little bit hungry. And if an adult is hungry, So you'll eat supper 5 hours later. The world doesn't come to an end. You do your work and you have aches and pains. You have hunger pains. But it doesn't prevent you from functioning normally. But when a baby is hungry, the world comes to an end. The baby has a temper tantrum. So he goes crazy. He's going to stop in the middle of the street. The cars are going right and left all over the place. The kid is going to stop walking and he can't function. He's not sick, but he has a condition that's called babyhood that prevents him from functioning normally. So to say, he has the status of a chayla she'im basakon. That's what the Ramah says. So when a baby is crying in his crib and he needs a bottle, you're permitted to ask a goy to drive, or to do a malocha deraisa, to make a fire, to heat up the bottle, to warm it, to give it to the baby, because the baby has the status of a chayla she'im basakon. Yeah, this is a big chiddush. So chayla she'im basakon doesn't have to be a chayla. A person she'im basakon. Let's say there are older people who are so old they're not able to walk, they can't walk to shul. So functioning normally means he goes to shul every day. That's his whole pleasure in life. He doesn't go to work anymore, so he goes to shul, he meets his friends, he davens, goes home. Let's say Shabbos, he can't go to shul. So the pashtus is that to have a goy, to push him in a wheelchair or something, the pashtus is that has the status of a choyle. He's not sick, he's healthy, he's not sick, but that's like a tinoch. The person is unable to function normally. So we would permit Amir al-Nachri on behalf of the person who can't function normally. Yeah, where did the Ramah get this definition from? That Tzorchei Hatinoik are considered like a Chol Hashem Sakone, so Amir al-Nachri would be Mutter. So we have to learn, this is a Gemara on Mem Amid Beis, which we're going to try to cover this year. The Gemara says, a woman would be permitted to do a Malacha al-Yedei Shinui, to do bishul ayde shinoi in order to shmir her baby. So tzorchei hatinoik, that's what is based on that gemara. We don't paskin like that, so we'll have to see the makor of the Ramah. That's what the mefarshim. Makor of the Ramah is mem on the base. So we're going to have to analyze that gemara when we get to it. Yeah.
What is electricity considered? Is it considered a malacha drabanan or it's not like a gezer?
What do you mean electricity?
Like let's say you have an electric kettle.
Well, we assume that electric current, bishul menator is only bishul be'esh or betoldesesh. Either you have a fire on the bottom or you have something that was heated up on the fire. Let's say I have a frying pan on the fire and then I turn off the fire. A goy turns off the fire. Then I crack open an egg on the frying pan. The frying pan is still burning hot. The egg will get cooked. That bishul betoldesesh. If the fire is still on and I have the egg on top of the fire, that's bishul be'esh. If the fire is not on, or the fire is over there, and I took the frying pan over here, and I crack open the egg, and I let it cook, I put in water, and it cooks, so that's bishul betoldesesh. The bishul deraisa, you need esh told us so. We assume that an electrical current is also called Eish. It's covered over, you can't see the wire. But if the wire would be exposed, if it would be glowing, when you heat metal till it glows, so that we discussed the other day. The Rambam quotes from the Tosefta like that. When you heat metal till it glows, that's a melacha deraisa of havara. That's considered eish. So that's considered bishul beish.
So we took bishul out of the question, like just to warm it up, but it's not yatsa lettuce or something, or to take away the cold or something. So what do we consider, like just the melacha derabanan, or is it less?
It depends what you do. If you cook the food till yatsa lettuce, so then it's bishul on the food. Sometimes it's havara. You cause the electric wire to become red. You're heating up the metal till it glows. So that's a malach of havara. Forget about what it's going to do. Sometimes it doesn't glow, but let's say you turn on the refrigerator. So if you have an electrical machine that plows, or electrical machine that harvests, so you're doing the malach of choresh, you're doing the malach of zareya, doing the malach of kotzer. If you have an electrical machine, that's just a freezer, a refrigerator, a fan, a television. So it's not doing any other malacha. The question is, what about if the electrical wire, if you think that it's so hot that it's glowing red, even though it's covered over, you can't see it, but if you think it's glowing red under the plastic cover that it has painted on top, so then it's a malacha of havara. If you think it's not, if you ascertain that it's not red, it's not orange, it's not glowing, just that you put a system in motion, so that's a big question. So the Chazon Ish was of the opinion that that's a malacha deraisa. He was convinced a malacha deraisa. He wasn't sure whether it's a malacha makaba patash abona. So how could he be so sure that it was a malacha deraisa? He was convinced that it's a malacha deraisa to turn on a fan, or to turn on the refrigerator, to set a system in motion, and it should continue to plug. He put in a plug, and something functions. So he thought that that's either boina makaba patash deraisa. And the other poskim held that it's only makaba patish de rabbanon. Where they get that from? They got that from the Gemara, also in Ksubas. I think on the same daf. Gemara says if the drain pipe is clogged up, and the water is going to collect on the roof and it's going to leak through, and the whole house is going to get ruined. So you want to push your foot into the drain pipe. It got clogged up with twigs and with leaves and autumn and everything falls down from the trees. Got all clogged up. So you're gonna fix. It's not that something is broken, nothing is broken, but it's clogged up. Let's say sometimes the toilet gets clogged up, so you need a plunger to be able to have it run, work. So the Gemara seems to say, the way the Ran learns the Gemara seems to say that that's a malocha, a makaba patish de rabbanon. Makaba patish de raisa would be if something is broken and you fix it. Here it's not broken, you fixed it, it's just, it's not functional because it's clogged up. Let's say you have dirty dishes and you wash them off, and now you're able to serve a meal on the dish. They say that's makaba patish, that the dishes were not functional. Now they are functional. That's not makaba patish. But over here, because it's clogged up, so the Gemara says that this is makaba patish the rabbon. So that's what many poskim agreed with the Chazon Ish, that plugging in a fan or turning on a refrigerator or an air conditioner would be a malacha. But they thought it's a malacha makaba patish, but they thought it's only a makaba patish derabanan, not a makaba patish deraisa. That's what usually assumed, not like the Chazon Ish.
So what would the issue be if you have your air conditioner, it's too hot, it's still too hot, it's too cold, you want to change the temperature? Let's say there's a number, let's say it's an old, just a dial, you just rotate the thing and it'll either blow more cold air or less cold air.
I don't know, you have to find out how the air conditioner works, what happens when you make it higher or lower. I don't know, you got to figure it out. Yeah.
Two questions. First of all, according to the Chazon Ish, that's a problem of either bone or makaba patish. Why don't you say that plugging or unplugging or turning it on and turning it off is like opening and closing the door, that it's derech tashmisho? Then it would be much better.
Right, okay. That's the problem with the Chazon Ish. There's nothing broken. There's nothing broken, so why should it be makaba patish there, right? So that's why others assume that setting a system in motion, like using a plunger on the toilet when the mamish is clogged up, so the Gemara seems to say that that's a Ran learns the Gemara, that's a makaba patish derabbanan.
Also, isn't istinus?
They say that Rav Moshe Feinstein, I never heard, they say Rav Moshe Feinstein said, Mistam and the Chazon Ish didn't understand the physics. If he would have known physics, he would understand that that plugging in the refrigerator is not a makaba patish deraisa. And I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva who said the Chazon Ish had such an appreciation of physics. Whoever does know physics can't appreciate the Chazon Ish that he said that it's makaba patish derais. Yeah.
Is an istinus who would not be able to function properly without something or other allowed to do a run?
Is an istinus allowed to violate a gzer daban for what purpose?
Because otherwise he would not be able to function properly.
He can't function normally for whatever reason. He can't function like a baby is in his stinus. Okay. Whoever can't function normally is considered a choyla shame of sakana. Not a choyla, he has a condition that he's aimed for sakana. So to enable him to function normally, we would permit a violation of gzeris. We wouldn't permit, but that's the halachic kadeya hashlishis. That's the Rambam. We only allow gzeris. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, you permit a person is a choyla shame of sakana, he can't function normally. And the doctor says if he'll take a hot bath, he'll relieve his pain and he'll be able to function normally. But he's not allowed to turn on the hot water on Shabbos, it's Bishul. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, let him ask a non-Jew, because the Gemara says on Kuf Chav Tesim and Aleph, that Amiri Lanachri is Mutta, but Makam Mechoel Lushem is Sakana. So Rabbi Kiveger asks on the bottom of the page of the big Shulchan Aruch, fine, he'll ask the Goy to turn on the hot water, but then there's a Gzeris HaBalonim. A Balon is a bathhouse attendant. So the bathhouse attendants apparently didn't have a college degree, they didn't have smicha, so they were not so learned, they were not so observant. They were pshutei ha'am. So a lot of times when they used to have bath, they didn't have private showers and a bath in their own home, the community had a community bathhouse. So when people would come on Shabbos afternoon, they would turn on, they would know the people are going to come to take a hot bath at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they would turn on the fire. Why should they have the fire on? The whole Shabbos costs a lot of money, eats up a lot of fuel, costs money for the electricity. So they would turn on the fire on Shabbos at 3 o'clock, and then the Balabatim came at 4 o'clock and said, yeah, we left it on from before Shabbos. They would tell a lie. So the Tanoi made Xeris HaBalonim. You're not allowed, we don't trust the bathhouse attendant because we're not so observant. You're not allowed to take a bath in hot water even if you know Bevadois that it was heated up before Shabbos. Xeris HaBalonim. You're not allowed to bathe in hot water. Some Tanoim hold the Xeris was even made on cold water. They went all the way, but we paskin only on hot water. So Rabbi Kiveger asked the Kasha, what does it help? I'll ask the Nochri to heat up the water for me on Shabbos. I'm here with the Nochri is mut, but how can I take the hot bath? What happened to the Gzeres HaBalanim? Rabbi Kiveger answers, no, Gzeres HaBalanim is only a Gzeres. It's not a Malacha, even with the Rabbanim. So Chol Hashem B'Sakana is permitted to violate the Gzeres. That's what we assume. The Mishnah Berurah writes like this. What about to take a pill on Shabbos? That to take refuah b'Shabbos is a gzera. That's gzera shemi shachik salamanim. A gzera that he may grind up the herbs in order to make the medication. So the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that if a person is a chol shem b'sakana, he's permitted to take pills on Shabbos. If the person has a little headache, it doesn't really slow him down. He can function normally, but he's annoyed by the slight headache. Someone would say he's not allowed to take the pill, but he has a splitting headache, and he's slowed down, and he wants to go in bed. He can't function normally. So that would be considered a chol shem b'sakana. For a chol shem b'sakana, he's permitted to take medication. Some achrenim disagree. Some rishonim and achrenim disagree. The Mishkanes Yankev has a whole tshuva. He thinks we should not paskin like that. We should not permit a chol shem b'sakana to take medication. And he quotes the story in the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah, that one of the Amoraim, I think it was Rabbi Yechanan, one of the Amoraim was not well, and he went to a non-Jewish woman who was a doctor, and every day he would pay her a fortune of money. He needed treatment a few days in a row. So she would give him the treatment. Then he said, tomorrow on Shabbos I can't come. Please tell me what the medication is. She says, I can't tell you the medication. You're going to be mepharsis. You're going to tell everybody what the medication is. You put me out of business. I can't tell you what it is. So he says, he swears to God, he will not tell anyone. No, he didn't say that. He says, I swear to God, I will not tell. That's what he said. So she told him the secret of the medication. Then he walked out from the doctor, Goyisha doctor, and told everybody what the medication was. So the woman says, but you swore to God. I swore to God, I will not tell. That's the way he said it. He didn't swear to God, I will not tell the Jews. He said, I swear to God, I will not tell. That was the end of the sentence. So he said, that's what I had in mind when I took the shmur. So the Gemara says, why was he allowed to take the medication on Shabbos? So the Gemara said, because his condition was, he was a chol sheyesh b'sakana. So the simple reading of the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is if he would have been anything less than a chol sheyesh basakana, he would not have been permitted to take the medication on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Gemara Yankit thinks we should follow the simple reading in the Gemara, those Rishonim, that to be allowed to take medication on Shabbos only for chodesh sheyesh basakana. But that's not the accepted opinion. We follow, the Mishnah Berura says over here, the consensus of the majority of the poskim is that a chola she'ein bo sakon is permitted to take medication. Why? Because medication is only a gzera. So all gzeras are mutter for chola she'ein bo sakon. So for example, we allow amira l'nachri is only a gzera. And then we allow bathing in the hot water, gzeras habalanim is only a gzera. We allow swallowing medication on Shabbos. And then there's a gemara in the end of Erevin, the last parak in Erevin. A person is a chola she'ein bo sakon. He can't function normally, and he has to go to sleep. But if he will have a good night's sleep, he will regain his strength. He'll be able to function normally, and he can't fall asleep. He can't fall asleep. So the Gemara says we're permitted to play soft music on Shabbos. A Jew is permitted to play soft music to put him to sleep, because since he's a chelus she'ein bo sakana, and playing music is only a gzera derabbanon. The Mishnah in the end of Beitza says you're not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos Yontif. Gzera, Shem Yisakim Klesha. It's only a gzera. It's not even a malachim and a rabbanon. You can't say that whoever plays the piano is a violation of Masakim Mona. It's a gzera, Shem Yisakim Klesha. But he didn't actually do it. But since it's only a gzera, so the Gemara says it's mutter. Mutter to play music to help a chol Shem Masakona get better. Or the Magen Avraham quotes from the Issa Deheta. Let's say the Goyisha doctor comes to the house on Shabbos. The patient doesn't feel well. He's in bed. And the doctor says he needs a medication. So he asked the doctor, could you please go to the drugstore? Could you please call up the drugstore and tell him what we need? He says, no, I'm not going to call up. He says, give me a pen and I'll write a prescription for you, and you'll pick it up from the drugstore. Let's say there's an Erev. And the druggist knows who I am, and he'll trust me. I'll be able to carry. So the Goyish doctor doesn't have a pen. So he says, could you please give me a pen? And I'll write the prescription. I say, today is Shabbos, I can't give you a pen. So he says, goodbye. The Goyisha doctor says, goodbye. Edie, give me the pen, right? So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Issa Deheter, from the Rabbeinu Yonah, you're permitted to be metaltal muktzeh on behalf of a chodesh she'emes akana. The doctor says, if you give me a pen, I'll write the prescription. I say, here, the pen is in the drawer. He says, no, you give me the pen. So if you have no choice, a tiltal muktzeh is only a gzera derabban, a gzera she'em yotzi. It's not a malachim derabban. Whatever is only a gzera, that's we halachic kadeya hashlishes. He passed like the Rabban, that for a chodesh she'ein bo sakana, we permit violation of all gzeres. We permit violation of all gzeres. Okay, Delina, the next week we'll have to continue. Okay.